American Business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjoe Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjoe Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is virtualization performance, stretching the envelope. Our guests for today's show are Simon Crosby, Tom Bishop, Tim Marshland, and Brian Stevens. Simon is the CTO of the Virtualization and Management Division of Citrix. Tom is the CTO with BMC Software. Tim is a Sun Fellow and CTO of Software Organization with Sun Microsystem. And Brian Stevens is the CTO and Vice President of Engineering at Red Hat. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi there.
So how was your long weekend?
Not
were
long
you
enough.
Just with family, or we played golf, or what was happening? Or you guys were working. Don't tell me you were working.
Looks like everybody was working but me. I was flying out to Norway. I have engaged in Europe for a week, so I'm actually currently in Norway.
And I was coming back from Lisbon, so I took 3 days to recover from jet lag.
Okay. All right. So talking about virtualization performance. Now, this is one area where we are saying, yes, we want to measure performance and see what we are buying or making, and we have an intent to buy. How do they perform? When we are looking at those, we are also struggling at the same time of what are we measuring them against? What benchmarks do we have? What standards do we have for us to be able to measure against? And are there any limits that we want to reach where we say that's a theoretical limit and we will not be able to go beyond that, but we are far away from reaching that limit, so let's keep working towards that. So what exactly is happening right now on that front? Simon.
Thank you, Sanjog. So, you know, I think the first thing to say is that the dominant player in the market still prohibits anybody else from publishing benchmark results, and that, in my view, is just ridiculous. You know, all of those are represented on this call, I think, would stand for open publication of benchmark results, because we think that that makes us improve our performance better and better every day. And so that's an issue. So there is still a challenge for people wanting to evaluate performance because there are no good comparative metrics published, because in general it's not possible to publish them. That said, there are some good tips and tricks for how to go about evaluating performance, say if you download different vendors' software and run some tests yourselves. But it is a little bit of a black art, because you know it's not only about the raw performance of any one virtualization platform, but also how one mixes different kinds of guests on the platform. So I say it's an area there where there's still a lot to learn, and you know, it is the case that there are some early standards out there, but even the standards themselves are immature. So there's a lot to do.
Tom?
Yes, I absolutely agree, and I want to second the call for more open scrutiny of performance results. It's only through the openness of the results and the processes that we follow to get those results that, as an industry overall, we will improve. But I absolutely agree. There's quite a bit that's been done in the development of performance benchmarks and the ways that we both measure performance and improve performance in non-virtual environments. And I think for the most part, organizations are simply adapting those existing techniques to learn how to get the best performance out of a virtualized environment. And while that will take you a fair way, there are still specific challenges in configuring virtualized environments correctly and optimally that we still have to learn, and we're still developing those tools and techniques. So this is still, again, as Simon said, it's still more art than science, but we're learning.
Tim?
There is a spec subcommittee that's kind of trying to put together virtualization benchmarking, but I guess progress has been slower than I would like to have seen. You know, they're trying to come up with...
Tim, can you speak a little louder?
Sure, I'm sorry. So there is a spec committee that is working on virtualization benchmarks of various kinds. You know, I think progress could be a lot faster if they actually had finished their work. But at the moment, they seem to be somewhat stuck with respect to defining the workloads. And it is kind of a difficult problem to say, you know, take your entire data center with the workloads and invent a benchmark out of it, because you know,
Brian?
Yeah, I think I'll, you know, highlight what Tim's saying. So I think anybody that wants to see some consistency of virtualization performance at the benchmark level, spec is the place to participate. And, you know, the timeline calls for the, probably not as aggressive as many of us would like, but sort of the end of 2008 for the first release of some benchmarks. But that gives you the benchmarks, and that gives each vendor then the ability to consistently publish information, but it still doesn't provide, the ability to do comparative use, which, you know, again, vendors inhibiting open publication is still going to be an impediment.
Now, all the answers that we got to this question kind of lend us to believe, or actually the fact is, we do not have things what we would have liked to see with respect to how you measure performance and or how you could rate whether I should buy or not buy. So how comfortable is the end user today, not just because their fellow CIO or other decision maker or their counterpart in other companies have bought it, so let me also buy it. So this becomes more like a hype-based decision on virtualization versus empirical data-based.
It is absolutely that. This is Simon, but not hype based. But I think there is, this good rule of thumb out there. You know, people will say to me, "Can I virtualize some SQL Server workload?" And the answer generally is yes, but don't put too many VMs on the machine or something. And one can go off and tune these things. I think there's a point at which the absence of benchmarks could limit the rate of adoption of virtualization. So that it is still thought generally that certain IO-intensive workloads cannot be virtualized successfully, where, in fact, we've recently shown that that's not the case. So, for example, complex processes or workloads such as, say, Windows Terminal Services or our own Xen app at Citrix, are known to have very ferocious overheads when virtualized, but we reduced that down to sub 5% recently. And so it's important that there are good benchmarks out there, because otherwise people don't know that they can virtualize these workloads that are pretty ferocious on IO.
Now, we've always seen that whenever a new technology is introduced, of course, the tendency, we do a lot of things in our lives to make money, I think most of the things. And that's where, when a benchmark is released, then every organization, which is especially coming from the vendor community, either is one of the sponsor of that standards body, which would be creating that benchmark, or would be tilting towards one benchmark versus the 20 others that are pulled out by other vendors in the same competitive landscape. What that usually does is that we have got so many different benchmarks, which basically means there is no benchmark, there is no standard that we are following, and it becomes, again, a battle to get the market share. And many technologies have failed because end user loses confidence in that whole thing. So do you think the vendor community instead has to learn from those lessons and not, again, repeat the same thing with virtualization, which actually, as a technology, shows a lot of promise?
Well, this is fine. If I can just put in one thought, and then I'll let the other folks go. This applies in other areas, too. But I think there's a fork in the road coming where a lot of this gets sorted out, and that is that the hypervisor is now in hardware, and, you can't expect a user to, when they're buying a new Proliant or whatever server, to go off and see whether they can run Exchange Server on it. That doesn't make sense. So the view that I think most in the Xen community have espoused, that the hypervisor is just an emergent property of Moore's Law, basically says that, if you consider it as part of hardware, once it is in hardware, it really does look rather silly if you have to go and check whether your new server will run Exchange, or run SQL Server. And so I think that's going to get shaken out pretty fast.
Yeah, I agree. I remember in the early 90s when there were a proliferation of companies developing TCP/IP and internet stacks, and there was quite a bit of time and effort spent trying to ensure compatibility between different vendor stacks. That sorted out pretty quickly, because it's nonsense to have developed an IP stack that didn't allow you to communicate with others on the internet. A similar kind of phenomenon will occur here. We'll find those benchmarks that are proven to be durable. We'll find those implementations which are proven to be compatible and deliver the best performance. And it just takes time for those to sort themselves out, but that's happening now.
And as the virtualization technology itself is moving to, some people call it virtualization 2.0, or maybe 3.0 would be coming out soon. While we are advancing in terms of technology, but the very environment in which it exists, which has got so many different infrastructure components that it is made of, and it could have infinite combinations of the same, do you think we are trying to chase a ghost here when we even trying to build a measure or a benchmark?
Well, benchmarking is tough in this game because it, you know, it's not just about a, well, a workload is a combination of virtual machines and a virtualization platform. So arguably, to have thorough benchmarking, you need all possible permutations of different workloads and virtualization platforms, which is, you know, just not a pleasant task for anybody to undertake. So one of the reasons that those around the table here in the Zen community are so well positioned, in my view, is that we all work on the same code base, and we all use that same core set of bits in our products, and none of us believe that there's any particular advantage in terms of trying to outsmart or even claim that we're better than the other guy in terms of that core hypervisor, because we all work on it together, and we all decide and we all optimize it together and secure it together. And I think that that's a profoundly important concept for the industry. So I don't think of, so even though you have several virtualization offerings, even on this call, we all happen to use the same core hypervisor, and that's terrific.
Do you think we can have a socialistic pattern in this capitalistic world where multiple vendors would work towards a common cause and try to build some one same benchmark and have a level playing field all the time?
So the great thing about this is that the Zen project, I'd say the Zen project stumbled into it, but it may have been more deliberate than I understand, was that you commoditize the engine, but you don't commoditize the car. And each one of these vendors sells a car. And so you have a commoditized engine where everybody optimizes and secures and contributes to the core engine, but each one of us gets to take a slightly different shaped car to our particular customer segment. So I am never worried about having other Zen vendors around what I do, because if my customer wanted to buy what those guys do, then they would buy it. And that is nothing more than a statement that the market, there's a strong market for, you know, lots of different kinds of cars.
So, Tim, let us start with you. What are the typical type of things that you would like to set benchmarks for? And should we set for any infrastructure component that is that has been virtualized in terms of, like, you know, you could have multiple things happening in terms of virtualization space. You're doing I/O, you're doing server, you're doing network application, things of that nature. And every different component that you see there, which is virtualized, I mean, do we think that some of them have already reached the epitome of what we could do with them, or there is some more improvement to be looked at, and thus we should have a benchmark, or we can just say, okay, you know what, we have reached the limits and no need for a benchmark, and we can focus on other items. But before we get into it, let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and start with Tim.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
CIO Decisions is the first executive IT magazine to focus on mid-sized businesses. CIO Decisions offers IT executives management strategies and advice for aligning business and IT at fast-growing mid-sized companies. Subscribe today and receive 12 monthly issues of CIO Decisions magazine at no charge to you. Visit ciodecisions.com/subscribe1.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.avol.com today. Avol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Avol delivers. To find out how Avol can help your company, visit www.avol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.avol, A-V-V-A-L, avol.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So what things should we set our benchmarks for? And should we set benchmarks for any infrastructure component that has been or can be virtualized? Let's start with Tim.
So I pretty much think that every component that gets virtualized needs to be benchmarked. You know, the world out there that has been using virtualization for a while has been finding that there are some performance problems. That, you know, it isn't kind of a uniform story, that everything is just fine. And I think, you know, various bits of anecdotal information get exchanged about what works and what doesn't work. And then I think that's one of the reasons why benchmarking is a good idea in this space. But I can't think of a single piece that's sort of free from issues over time. There's always kind of something that you're paying for in order to get this capability, in order to get the real value of virtualization, which is around, you know, kind of business agility and manageability. And you do pay some performance for that. And so I think, you know, you do have to be careful about what you measure. And I think it goes from kind of components upwards. You don't get to sort of say, well, I'll just execute spec this, where it's like one particular workload, and say, now I've characterized the entire system. You probably have to run a bunch of things which are very similar to the workload you actually want to use. Going from components upwards to that workload is kind of a lot of work. But if you're really anxious about performance in that space, that's what you have to do.
Brian?
Yeah, I think you've got to really look and contrast how successful benchmarks have been in sort of the legacy world pre-virtualization. And, you know, in spending a lot of time with customers, it's extremely rare that customers use the results of benchmarks as their sole source of guidance. And so that's sort of the world we're in today. And so vendors and OEMs use virtualization, who use benchmarks rather as a way to, publicize advancements in hardware roadmap and operating system technologies. But to be honest, it's around publicity, but very little in terms of a guiding framework for customers. So I think that anything that happens in, especially with spec and others in the benchmark world, is going to be very useful at building micro benchmarks that can measure sort of the unit performance, and those are meaningful. But the overall, in terms of understanding, you know, application performance is very subjective to, you know, the architecture of the particular customer in terms of the problem they're trying to solve. Application load, what's their network model, what's their storage model. So that, you know, what you know, increasingly becomes important is really understanding how to, deploy and knowledge around complex applications and guidance for maximizing performance, and less around benchmarks for comparative purposes.
Simon?
It's a tough problem, and I think that I agree with Brian that the customers aren't generally led entirely by benchmarks. I think that the hope for the future is that virtualization, as people currently know it, is continually changing shape. More and more hardware assist is coming, and the overheads are dropping down. I think there will come a point where one says that, you know, virtualization overhead is low enough and the benefits of moving to a newer, faster machine are high enough that you don't care that there's overhead there. It always does come down to the mix of workloads on a particular machine, though. And really, you know, what we see coming down the path is that lots of the overhead that remains, which is really in I/O, will start to go away when we see the newer IOV, or at least smarter NICs and smarter HBAs coming to market, which we expect to see starting now through the rest of 2008. And this significantly reduces the overhead on the virtualization platform for I/O, and reduces context switches and a bunch of other bits of overhead. And doing that, we have shown, as indeed as VMware, that you can, you can completely saturate the hardware while having minimal overhead in the virtualization platform itself. Again, I mention this purely because it is a way of perhaps getting us off this horrible hook, which is I don't think that no matter how hard we work on benchmarking, we're never going to have a single guiding rule for the customer. But I think that the hardware is getting better at such a rate that it may well help us out of that hole.
Tom?
Yes, I absolutely agree. I think, first of all, it's like the fuel economy of a car. The vendors, the car manufacturers will certainly publish their numbers, but they're also quick to point out that individual mileage may vary because individual driving styles are so different. The same thing is true here. We'll get benchmarks that are useful for the vendors, perhaps, to help them improve their own systems, but ultimately there are an enormous number of different elements that make up the end performance that users get. And that's a complex set of variables that interact with each other in very complex and often unintuitive ways. And trying to somehow distill this down to a simple set of benchmarks is really unrealistic. It really will come down to having an appropriate set of tools within a given environment to say, here's what I'm getting in my environment and what can I do to improve that. And we'll develop tools and techniques and rules of thumb that become more widely accepted for how one does that. That knowledge will get culturalized and institutionalized, but it will never come down to a single benchmark.
I think there's one more issue that one needs to add on top of this, which is that absent any good knowledge on this topic, a lot of the application vendors won't support their app virtualized. And so that's quite challenging, too, because, rather than just being does my operating system and application run on this particular server, one now has to go on a per application basis and see whether the application vendor supports that product on any particular vendor's virtualization platform and on some particular operating system. So that's a challenge too.
So can we somehow comfort or provide comfort to an end user that, things are happening, so you've invested in this technology. We may not have benchmarks, but whatever is out there, whatever you've used, is working at its current best, and as the things evolve, you will be beneficiary of the same. Is that a statement that will comfort or the end user? Is that what they should take away?
I think for all of the virtualization vendors are on this call, which is a perfect picking on your part, Sanjog, is or the Zen community on any day, on any, at any second of the year, how about that? The Zen community is continually optimizing that code base so it runs on the best hardware and with the best performance for those workloads that are available to everybody. And I can't think of a better way for moving the ball forward. I think that any closed source proprietary development pattern which says that a particular vendor has all of the smarts on the planet and can make, things go better than anybody else is just blatantly false, and therefore I'm confident that the Zen community is moving forward at the best possible rate that the industry can in virtualization. I think that's a very, very powerful statement.
So can we expect in future that whenever we get to some sort of a way to compare various systems or virtualized environment or the technologies, the phrase of single unified metric, which has been proposed by some white papers, et cetera. Is that what we are foreseeing that's going to happen, or there's another flavor of measuring system that may evolve?
I think everybody has said around this table this is very consistently this is hard stuff. An area we haven't mentioned which makes it harder is what's the storage infrastructure you're using, because how one stores VMs and where they happen to live locally or on remote shared storage, all of that stuff is also a major issue affecting performance. And so ultimately it comes down to a system-wide performance issue. And I I hate to be the one to say it, but we don't have even the faintest clue about how to provide good metrics for that. It really does come down to industry best practice and vendors stepping up to say, we have a method to do such and such. It's very interesting to me that in the context of the category known as VDI, where you're running Windows XP or Vista VMs in the data center for a remote desktop experience, that is being solutionized. That is, you'll find, I was speaking to one of our integrators last week, if a customer says, I have 500 users who need a virtual desktop, they know exactly how many servers, how much storage, and so on to drop into the data center, and it will all work because they have done the metrics in-house and they know how to make that scenario work. I think that one's particularly amenable to this, but for the general data center workload, it's rather tough.
So, okay, I think we have bashed the benchmark thing enough. Now let's look at exactly whatever measures that we would have put in place till now, whatever measurements that we would have done so far. What area of virtualization is demanding the most attention, and what is to be done with respect to, or what is being done with respect to those areas? Brian, let's start with you.
You know, I mean, what customers want is they want to be able to deploy the complete set of applications that they have today on a virtualized environment in time. So they don't want to be put in a position that they are in today around understanding, one, which applications will still perform at bare metal levels when virtualized, and then two, what virtualization, you know, engines should they you know, acquire to make that happen, VMware Xen, KVM, Hyper-V. So they want to eliminate those two conversations. So really everything around, you know, getting them to a position is of where they can ignore, you know, performance is hitting bare metal performance. So it's really all around trending to, you know, that there is no overhead. So directionally, I mean, you can argue, again, it's benchmarks. You'll see benchmarks that talk about no overhead, and you'll see other ones that talk about, you know, 30% overhead. But directionally, things are evolving really quickly because it's the advancement of performance in a virtualized environment to achieve bare metal performance is a three-way conversation between hardware advancements, operating system advancements, and hypervisor advancements. All three of those have to move along in parallel to really get to bare metal performance. And so at the time that happens, I mean, this isn't going to happen in 2008, but as that happens in, you know, in the next several years, you know, we won't even be having this conversation around virtual versus physical. And that's really where customers need to be. And in the interim, they have a lot of choices to make.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and also listen to others about the areas where we did find that there are some improvements possible and what is to be done to take the virtualization to the next level. So please stay tuned.
Money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the Internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Unveil the business of real estate investing with the Naked Investors. The bare truth about real estate investing. Join your hosts, Rosie Nieto and Pete Mendenhall, who both come from the inner world of the real estate investors clubs and seminars. With this insider's view, you get to learn what it takes to be a successful real estate investor. Join us for the Naked Investors, the bare truth about real estate investing, every Wednesday at noon Pacific. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back, folks. We were talking about, or almost taking an inventory of the areas of performance improvements that are possible or what we have recognized in a virtualized environment, and after all the benchmarks and the studies and tests would have been conducted. And what are the typical areas where we can see we need to provide the most attention? And so Brian gave his two cents. Brian, do you want to add something, or we should have Tim talk about this?
Yeah, I think just sort of the, you know, jumping on what you've heard a lot about, the areas that have to continue to progress are all around I/O. And so I think you're seeing advancements both from the, Intel and AMD around page tables that are going to start to let large workloads get to bare metal performance, and then you're going to see the same, you know, similar work being done at the I/O adapter level.
Okay. So, Tim, go ahead.
As a core hardware technology, which I think Brian was referring to, this IOMMU capability, which really allows you to do virtualized I/O, almost at sort of, well, actually at bare metal speeds, and that I think will have a huge impact when that's really kind of rolled out.
Tim, I'm kind of losing you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Kind of hopeless phone here.
okay.
I was saying that there's a kind of core hardware capability on its way, an IOMMU, which basically gives you the ability to run I/O workloads at bare metal speeds, and that's going to make a huge difference. The other thing that I think is kind of critical, I mean, I know we've been spending a lot of time on performance today, but usually the precursor for that is observability, which lets you figure out what's not working. And I think that's a place where, you know, there's a lot more to be done, but there already are examples of that, which, again, to reinforce a message we've been hearing on the call, is really enabled by an open source implementation, because you can actually take the thing apart, insert probes, start to do performance work in a way that you just cannot do on a proprietary closed source implementation. So again, that's another reason why we want to approach this as an open source problem,
right,
as opposed to, you know, kind of saying, here, we have all the answers, which obviously we don't.
Tom? I guess we lost Tom, but you'll join.
I'm here. I'm sorry. What I was going to say is I think the earlier comment is exactly correct. I think that we're at the stage today around virtualization that we were with memory in the early 90s. And for those of us who are old enough to remember the world of segmented memory and expanded memory and then later extended memory, what organizations really wanted was they wanted it just to work, and they wanted it to work in a way that was completely transparent. And we're not there yet, but we're getting there. And I think it's important not to overlearn too many lessons from the early experiences of virtualization, but rather what we want to get to is a world where this stuff really does just seep into the background and it just works the way we want it to. And I think part of that is the transparency that was discussed just a moment ago, that providing the appropriate measurements and the appropriate instruments that help us really understand what's going on under the covers without having to look at too much data in too many different places is really where we're going.
Okay. Simon, you want to touch on this?
Sure. You know, I think if you think about, I bet you most of your listeners' heads, if you say the word virtualization, they're either using it or they're not. If they are, they're probably using the market latest product. And the one thing that I think the Zen project discovered and that everybody around this table would agree on is that virtualization is about to change shape. What Zen does is deconstruct the system to essentially allow innovation to happen in multiple different places. So you have the hypervisor optimize, and then you allow the storage folks to go off and optimize storage. You let the I/O folks do optimization of the I/O path, and suddenly this thing that was a rather large single system, a little bit more like an operating system, disappears and becomes a component-wise integration into various bits of the stack all over the place. That certainly is where I see virtualization going. And so virtualization as is purchased today by that customer, is really just the result of virtualization as was developed on a previous set of hardware architectures, all of which have changed. So I think virtualization is going to change shape radically before your eyes within the next few years. All good, by the way.
Now, whenever we see something wrong with the performance in a given environment, and, we are not looking at a benchmark or anything whatsoever, but if something goes wrong, can we very clearly isolate where the problem lies? Is it straightforward? Or we could have a finger-pointing match happening among the different constituents?
Well, Simon here, I'll take a crack at it. I think it comes down to who, it is always a support issue. So will application vendor A support their app in OS vendor B's operating system on vendor C's hypervisor virtualization platform on vendor D's hardware? That's a rather interesting question, and the industry is still sorting that one out right now. What I'm observing is that there are some rational steps to that. That is, it's a very reasonable concern on some folks' part, and so they want to go off and test things. There's also irrational market-based control for people who have clout and have an opportunity to maybe use their clout to hold some position with their customer. And so there are some folks who are being particularly obstinate in terms of support related to whether or not they will support their app, on other vendors' products and so on. And I think that those things will also get shaken out pretty quickly as virtualization moves into hardware and as people finally just realize that, gosh, I also took Xen and built a hypervisor, built a platform around it, or I also took some other vendor's operating system and called it my own, isn't really a particularly strong value proposition to a customer. And so, I think all this stuff is going to get is going to go away as the hype around virtualization starts to, ebb out and customers really start to kick the tires on this stuff. They will start to demand these support agreements and it'll all become rational again, hopefully early next year.
Tom, I think Simon mentioned BMC, that you're trying to solve a certain challenge about, who is at fault. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
And can you just kind of give a little more detail on what is BMC trying to do in that space?
Well, again, a number of the previous speakers have commented on this. There are a lot of moving parts, and the two basic requirements for providing this kind of diagnostic, first of all, is transparency. Can you actually get instrumentation and information about what's happening in the underlying environment when things are going wrong? And can you identify the critical relationships that are causing a particular problem, either a behavioral problem or a performance problem? And it's those two areas where we've been working for a very long time, for many, many years, in providing that kind of information and those kinds of diagnostic tools in the physical world. And we are adapting all of those tools and all of those solutions to work in the virtual world as well. And so from that perspective, virtualization does introduce some additional challenges, but it's not dramatically more difficult than it's been in the physical world. It does add a degree of complexity because certain relationships, which used to be one could depend on, for example, the notion that a machine name and an IP address or an operating system and an IP address were considered one-to-one, those are clearly no longer true in a truly virtual world. And certainly as one gets more dynamic, that becomes even more so. So we are adapting, the industry is adapting the management tools that are used in those environments, but it's not a problem that's dramatically different than we've had to deal with in the past. It's largely a question of adapting the tools to work with these new technologies.
Right. I think any vendor that wishes to sell into the enterprise needs to be part of the ecosystem that allows unified support. So as an operating system vendor, we don't stop, the SLA doesn't stop, when it hits the hardware. So it can be on HP hardware, on IBM storage, Oracle database, Emulex adapters. you know, the customer wants a unified SLA. And so operating system vendors have built those support relationships where, you know, the diagnosis and the issues, wherever the issue may be, is remedied without making the customer the victim. So virtualization just adds, you know, one other, you know, ISV. In some cases, like with RHEL, it's part of RHEL. In the case with VMware is now part of our support relationship to the customer. So the unification of this has already happened in the physical world, you know, and virtualization needs to participate in that process.
Yeah, for example, you know, we haven't talked quite a bit about technology, but, you know, an all-important area, an all-important technology in the discussion of IT service management is this component we call the CMDB. Obviously, again, exactly as noted, we are adapting the data models that are supported by the industry standard CMDBs to include the additional components that are represented by the various virtualization technologies wherever they happen to reside. And we have to make sure that the relationship information that the CMDBs are responsible for tracking are kept current and up to date so that we can get the appropriate visibility, we can understand the dependencies so that you know, behavioral or performance problems can be quickly diagnosed and rectified.
And this is an interesting area that you mentioned about the CMDB and tracking, but if it's a virtual instance of a software asset, would you really count it as one, or like, you know, 1,000 instances being still counted as one piece of asset, or is it going to be counted as 1,000?
Well, again, we would consider multiple configuration items to delve into CMDB speak here. We would consider that to be multiple configuration items, and we would define a virtual machine to be one type of configuration item and a physical machine to be another, and the relationship information would map one to the other. This is not dissimilar from how we used to treat applications in the classic multi-programmed operating system, where I had multiple applications running on one operating system, running on one machine, or multiple SOA-based or web service components running on multiple machines or running on multiple applications. It's a question of, you know, it is a web of sorts, and the web can adapt and be modified dynamically, and we just have to make sure we have the appropriate triggers in our tools to map those components as those relationships change so that the tools responsible for providing the appropriate visibility and diagnosis have accurate information upon which to base their recommendations and observations.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and just talk about the complexity that may be involved in simulating a virtualized production environment, and that too before we have purchased a piece of virtualized component. And if you don't have that, then how do you know you're buying the right thing, because you do not know how it's going to work in your actual environment? And I mean, just mocking the whole thing, should we give a 30-day return policy unlike ever it was done in the software hardware purchasing side? So let's talk more when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. Now, we have looked at the various performance criteria, etc. Now, we are trying to take it to the end user and say, okay, go ahead, try this. The vendor community has provided open source, so which makes it somewhat easier for them to download and try. However, it could really become very complex when you try to simulate the exact production environment that you may have by putting the exact type of applications in the exact type of mix. So when it gets that complex and it takes forever for them to try it out, how are they being helped? And is there some sort of return policy? I mean, while it doesn't exist in the case of corporate IT, I guess, but then how are we helping them so that they don't come back and say, this is not for us?
So, this is Simon. The Open Source Zen community provides always its latest and greatest capability set for download. I'd say it's an engine wrapped up in Linux, and that isn't necessarily the shape of all the cars. It certainly isn't the shape of Tim Marsden's car, which is the engine wrapped up in Solaris, nor is it the shape of our car, which is Citrix Zen Server. But, Tim's car is also available free, as is ours. So you can download ours. We have, I think, heading towards 200,000 of those free cars in production today. So people running production workloads on the freely downloadable product. It is quite literally the product with a limited light entitlement in terms of support and everything else. But that is the specific goal here, is to always have a free product available for people to use. And then there's no issue about return to sender, because if you don't like it, you just throw it away. Our focus has been specifically on ease of use. That is, we made a promise in our product of 10 minutes to Zen. The moment you install a CD until you've got your first VMs up and running, 10 minutes, or I guess we broke the promise. But, people seem to like that. Our focus has been coming up from SME and now into decent-sized enterprise accounts, and making virtualization very, very easy to consume and manage has been our focus.
Tim, you want to take it?
Yeah, I think the next piece after that, though, is I think both kind of Brian and I have observed this, is the world out there, isn't just about kind of getting the software, because obviously, yeah, you can get it, but it's, can you get the attention and I guess the time of the IT shop to actually do the implementation, or even a proof of concept? We've certainly seen customers doing fairly long proofs of concept around their infrastructure, because, if it works, it can be if virtualization works for them and they can really reap the benefits of the agility that it brings. It's a big deal, but on the other hand, there are some concerns about just how it will work and how it refactors the IT shop between, for example, what the network administrator does and the storage administrator does and what the server administrator does, because it tends to mix those boundaries up in a new and different way. All of it is just change, but obviously change costs. And so sometimes, I think that's the place where people have to be kind of a little slow to adopt, because they actually need to work through those things inside their shop. It's a lot about people management just as much as it is software. And it's hard to kind of recoup people or sort of refund the costs of doing that. Obviously, that's for the IT shop to do. I don't think we can necessarily pay you for money, for time you spent that didn't work out. Obviously, we can provide consulting services and things, but thinking we're going to charge you for that. So that's sometimes,
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think...
we hear time and time again that most of the issues today around the adoption of new technology is less about the technology than it is about the people and the culture and the processes that are used to adopt and then manage and implement that technology. And those in most organizations tend to be the gating items to how quickly organizations adopt new technologies and how aggressively they exploit the benefits of those new technologies. So I think that we are quickly approaching a point where it's no longer sufficient just to talk about the sterile advantages of one technology over another, but how quickly and how easily and how well one can adapt and adopt the new technologies within their existing environments. You know, I'm reminded of it's the old joke about why God could create the world in 7 days, and the answer is because there was no installed base. as of course, we all know that we work in an environment where very little actually goes away. Once technologies get adopted, they tend to stick for a long time. And we've been predicting the death of the mainframe for the last 15 years, but IBM has been increasing mainframe MIPS shipments 20% year over year for those same last 15 years. So somebody's using those mainframe MIPS, for heaven's sake. So I think that, again, I think that it's important to keep in mind that, you know, the cost of the software actually becomes less of a factor. And, in fact, there's a great book by a guy named Tim Chu from Oracle called The End of Software. And in that book, he says that the cost of owning software is typically 5 to 10 times the cost of buying software. And so I think that we're, in some respects, as an industry, still focused on, you know, what does it cost to buy software and what's the license cost? And we tend not to pay as much attention to what it costs to actually own that software and use it. And I think we're beginning to change as an industry, but I think that we're still more toward the beginning of that evolution than toward the end.
Brian?
Yeah, for the last 3 years, you know, Red Hat's for the CIO Insight study has received the number one enterprise software vendor award in terms of providing value to, you know, the enterprise organization. And when you sort of put that next to how we deliver software, that our software is free and we have focused instead on knowledge and support, that same set of skills is increasingly needed as in a complex environment where enterprises trying to virtualize. So that's more critical than actually the software delivery in and of itself. So then couple that together with our model that isn't just around how do you actually get your hands on and receive knowledge around today's product, you know, through Fedora, you know, we're actually providing visibility into the future of virtualization, the future for open source infrastructure. So in just like, you know, yesterday's world, I think everybody in this call realizes that there's more than VMware. There's already more than Zen. So when you look at the future of where hypervisor technology is going, it's going to be moving very aggressively. It's going to be broader than VMware and Zen. And so customers need to actually have visibility into, you know, that next innovation. And through Fedora, we're able to give them that.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Simon, Tom, Tim, and Brian, for sharing your thoughts about how the end-user organizations can measure virtualization performance. I mean, we still have ways to go there and make the appropriate purchasing decisions, whereas vendors can follow finally some standards and or benchmarks to develop and improve their products, which will end up creating value for their customers. So if you have any questions or comments, please send us your views and or comments at views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Aul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Aul next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.